is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast. My name is Sharon Sarles, and I'm here to preach faith for success for children. Now, I don't know what problems you and your family have. I'm very most interested in helping children with learning problems because no one else is preaching about that. And no one else is doing it like I'm doing it. And some people have been confused why I would put faith and practical things together in the same cast. And so I'm going to speak directly to that in a very clear way today. And my scripture text for today is James, the second chapter in verse 17, a familiar scripture. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. So I want to speak first to the Christian who thinks they are so faith-filled. And then I will also like to speak to the person from the outside who is new to the idea of faith and is searching for some practical help for their child. And maybe I should do that first, because they may be just peeking in to see what that is. So this is it. Yes, here I do interviews and relay information from a wide variety of sources that may help you as the doctor mom of your family. You're responsible as the mother to be the kitchen head and the nursing head and the education head for your children, and for actually for all your family, because of course you cook for your husband and so forth. This is the traditional family structure, and that's not actually what I'm talking about, but you do know that's your responsibility as a parent, is for the well-being of your child. And so certainly I'm sure you, like me and everyone else, as you embark upon this life, you study what is the best food, what is the best educational practice, how can I do what I can do for the betterment of my children, my family, and yes, maybe even your parents. And if you're in the grandparent generation, you are still praying for and your offspring and making recommendations and doing what you can, and sometimes even the grandparents are doing the rearing. So, in that context, you want to find good practical ideas. And we have, oh gosh, so many ideas, some of which are not such good ideas. And there's no worse advice than trusted bad advice. And you have to sort it out all out. We have a richness of information in our society, but this requires more wisdom that we sort it out. But underlying the selection and application of practical health measures and innovative education techniques is a foundation of faith and a foundation of hope. Because if you don't have hope that something can be done, then, and faith that you will be guided and can do it and are aided in that, you may not do it. And so the worst possible scenario is the resignation, the fatalism of, oh dear, my children are broken and nothing can be done about it. This is the opposite of faith. And we see how cultures that take on this position, this philosophy of fatalism, of whatever is the way it should be, they don't progress. Those are not the societies that have prospered and risen to dominance and risen to a place where they could be charitable to the other societies and nations, right? So this is true also in your family. If you take hold with hope and faith, then it's much more likely you will find the right solution and succeed and triumph. And that's what I am trying to help you do. often even to my own detriment, because I could be doing something here making money, but I have persisted now 14 years in this broadcast, helping you and your family, okay? And so, also I wish to say, there is no such thing as false hope. There is no such thing as false hope. And unlike so many others, I'm going to give you the citation where I got that. So as far as I know, the first person to say that was a man named Dharma Singh Khalsa, MD, who is an Anglo-American, and in the Yogi Bhajan cult, because you can't be a Sikh and a yogi at the same time, but that's what Yogi Bhajan was, and led a bunch of upper-class American young people who are now not so young into that. But anyway, he has a book called Brain Longevity. All right, so let's take good ideas. But let's use discernment about what's good and what's bad. Yeah, okay. So that's what I'm up to, preaching faith and hope. And it's a grounded hope and a grounded faith. It's not just cockeyed optimism that leads us to throw out caution and discernment. On the contrary, we have a hope that's grounded in a centuries-old tradition of love, of mercy, of grace, with boundaries, and with forgiveness. So justice and mercy go together. And so this is the Judeo-Christian tradition. And so I have taken as my foundational scripture, and I've talked about why I chose that scripture. I didn't choose it out of reason, but out of personal story, but still it's very reasonable. Isaiah 54 and 13, all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom, their well-being. There's no other word, no English word that compasses all that shalom does, because it means well-being, peace, and prosperity. And so I've used that word. So you all know that Christianity began, I mean, from the outside, as a sociologist speaking, Christianity began as a sect of Judaism. Okay, we believe that we are that Jesus, Yeshua, was the fulfillment of those messianic prophecies in what Christians call the Old Testament. Of course, Jews beg to differ, but nevertheless, we can go forward in a friendly way, because we have so much in common. All of the various kinds of Jews and all the various kinds of Christians would agree in what I have just said, all right, that Christianity was based and came out of the Hebrew scriptures, and we have some disagreements doctrinally, but we can be friends because we have so much in common, and what we have in common is rooted in a revelation of a creator who is also gracious, redeems us, and gives us the understanding of how to best proceed in life. For Jews, the law is a gift of grace. And for Christians, well, we believe that we've moved beyond legalism, or we try, is as we are in Christ, in Jesus, the Messiah, and so who fulfilled the law for us. And okay, so from there we've got lots of differing opinions, but so much is reputable and foundational and irrefutable as an introduction to an outsider. So what I am saying is, this God is a benevolent God who set things up in a benevolent way and still wants to help you, even though things are broken. Okay, so we have what Christians have traditionally called the fall, which is discussed in Genesis 2 and 3. And so my understanding is that the rabbis say, well, there's the impulse to good and the impulse to bad. And the Christians say, that God created all things good, but then there was a fall, and so all things are corrupt. And so our children do get sick, do get attacked, and the world around us is broken, and people mean well, but often are misinformed and misguided and possibly deceived. And so everyone may be trying to make the world a better place, but many are not. But you want to do your best for your child. And of course, some people don't really care. They just want to make the world better for themselves, and it's very broken. But anyway, because as Plato said, we thrive best when we are serving each other. Okay, remember that. The little parable of everybody with long spoons. Okay, great picture. I think that was Plato in the cave, but anyway, maybe that was my own thought, but it's true. So, that's the apologia, the explanation to people outside, what we are up to and why this makes sense. So, I care most about helping children with learning problems. And when I began this broadcast, I fellowshipped with a group that considered themselves a faith movement, and so we could not name that. And I've never said learning disabilities 10 years ago on this broadcast, but I think I realize for SEO purposes, I've got to tell you what I'm up to. So there are all kinds of learning problems. They're not disabilities necessarily. There may be physiological problems, there may be psychological problems, there may be educational problems, maybe health problems, but they are overcomable because our God is a God of creation and redemption. And therefore, while I am very open to the wide variety of guests, and I like to you know, I was inviting a Baptist children's pastor on early on, and he was reluctant. I said, look, you're not responsible for what the Pentecostal said last week. I just want you to come and talk about your good idea. He said, oh, okay, bye. And when I had the regional expert for ADD, ADHD on, she happened to be a Methodist from a particular bedroom community of Austin, and so we gave a shout out to all of the Methodists in Dripping Springs. And so this is the kind of happy, all-inclusive community that I wish to build in Great Shiloh. But there is one, and typically I don't preach against other people, but there is one theology that I do wish to take issue with, and that is the ideology of fatalism, of resignation, and people make up theology about it, like, oh, sometimes God says no. Well, there's just no scripture for that. Sometimes God uses healing, uses sickness to, no, there is no scripture for that. Whatever happens is God's will. Well, the scripture does say that God may use everything. That doesn't mean that God caused everything, because we know of the fall. We're not going to say God caused the fall. Maybe he permitted it for our maturity, possibly. You can say that, but let's stick with scripture about what we're going to definitely affirm, and let's be very careful about affirming things that aren't in scripture that causes people to lose hope and have a worse life. Okay, so I think maybe you're beginning to see what I'm talking about. So today I want to talk about without works, faith is dead. So I am squarely for faith. I think faith is very important because it causes us to look up and to grasp things that we might not otherwise even see, and therefore have a better life. And of course, faith doesn't exclude discernment. Quite the contrary, because this God shows us the more appropriate ways to walk. And And we could talk about that in totally rational terms, too. This is a centuries of wisdom accreted in this faith community, okay? So if you're not, you know, if you have chosen to exclude supernatural, still that should make sense to you. So for my listeners who are not yet of the community of faith, I invite you into faith. I invite you into the community for your good. You see, on practical and reasonable terms, that faith is helpful. Okay? And simply affiliate if you want. Subscribe. Share. Discuss. Question. And when you're ready to make a faith commitment, you pray the prayer of Romans 10. It's a few chapters in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, and about verse 10. And you pray, Lord, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess you as Lord. I believe in my heart. And therefore you are saved. This is what is our understanding. And there are lots of people who pray with you, but all it takes is a heartfelt prayer to the Lord, okay? Recognize the lordship of Jesus. Recognize that God raised him from the dead. That's the starting point. That is not all of salvation by any means, because that's the starting point. That's justification. God wishes to bring you through sanctification unto glorification. That's the good news, and that doesn't get preached very often. Just so busy preaching salvation by grace through faith, which is true. But that's the starting point, okay? Now, switching the conversation over to Christians and to my friends who very much are of the faith perspective, look, I have a comeuppance for you. You can't just go on faith without works. If you try, to quote another preacher, well-known preacher, Jesse Duplantis, who says, the spirit of stupid has come upon you. If you truly believed that the house was burning, you would not say the house was burning. You would run out of the burning house. Well, maybe you would tell people the house was burning. Yes. Okay. So, how does this relate to learning disabilities in every way? So among my most dedicated faith friends, I saw people who were very skilled, who became, and I give them credit for it, they became very skilled at writing confessions, affirmations, and became skilled at saying them violently, but refused at the same time to, like, so they were confessing they would become prosperous, but they refused to learn how to better do their job. They refuse to learn how to run the business that they are in. They refuse to be serviceful to their customers. Now, look, do you think that's going to work? And is that even Christian faith? Or is that some sort of charismatic witchcraft? Do you really think that you've become rich by giving your money to your preacher and giving more money to the preachers who say the most wild things, just like that? Okay, now, if God tells you to give money, yes, do whatever God tells you. If you're hearing God, great. I'm not speaking against that, and I'm certainly not speaking against contributing both to the church and missions. On the contrary, I think God will bless that in general, but take a scripture out of context, preach that only, and don't do the other things that go along with it, and see how that works for you. So, there is absolutely a great principle of sowing and reaping, but you can't reduce that down to selling money to a certain man who's trying to control finances. How about using the sowing and reaping principle in your business so that you give a lead magnet? You give samples of your wares. Okay, so say you have a little booth at the farmer's market where you are selling cookies. How about breaking up those cookies and letting your customers taste some? Well, you know what? That's sowing and reaping. Or maybe you own a grocery store and the little kids, you give them a cookie. Well, that was Mr. Sacco when I was a little kid. Now, maybe you can't do that today because there's so many kids who are gluten intolerant, but Mr. Sacco ran a nice little grocery store, very small by today's standards, but he was well-respected in the community because that was 50, 60 years ago. So the size, he was an independent grocer, and we loved him. And I remember, as a grandmother today, that Mr. Sacco gave cookies to the children. Okay, that's sowing and reaping. And if you are an online marketer, then you know the term a lead magnet. So you say, get my free PDF book on this and listen to this free video, training video, and see if you don't want to sign up for my course. All right, this everybody's doing this today. And this is the basic principle of sowing and reaping. It worked in agricultural days. If you sow tomato seeds, you get tomato plants. And it's the same today. And so the scripture has given us good advice, but we have been very strange if we reduce that down to the only thing we do for prosperity is give money simply to our one pastor, right? We don't do any missions. I know a church actually who they preach against any charity. They don't give money to any kind of evangelistic missions, nor do they conduct it themselves. But they want more than 10% to the church and considerable personal gifts to the pastor. Which now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even know if... Anyway, that's legal. But and there is strong preaching, and that's basically all that's preached on. So, what? No. So, in the same context, and maybe I'm going to... Maybe I have already, by many more small and measured comments, have offended my followers from this corner. But look, pray for your kids. Believe for miraculous healing. No one preaches that more strongly than I do, that you should do that. But also, look for practical solutions. Look for practical health measures. So there's no reason to pray for miraculous healing if you're feeding your kid poison. So stop feeding your kid poison. And there's no sense, well, of course you should pray for miraculous healing, but also pray for wisdom that you will find the preventative measures that we should do because we're living in a broken and polluted society. And pray for wisdom in what to do in innovative education. Yes? And we're going to talk about some of that. It's on my do list to really talk about what can you do for a child who's not reading well. I've been asked to give that kind of protocol for homeschool mothers, but it's useful for lots of people, even if you're choosing another kind of school. So, similarly, your kid may have some difficulty and you have no idea what the problem is. But you hear, oh, some people are really talking against gluten. Well, let's do an experiment. Let's take the gluten away from the kid and see how he does. And I told you about my grandson who was a snot fountain and I took him off milk and all of a sudden he wasn't a snot fountain and he started speaking more clearly. I think he couldn't hear all those years. So that was dramatic, but you see, that could also, you don't know what's wrong with your kid. Maybe he's doing poorly in school, and the teachers are telling you that he's ADHD, and you need to put him on Ritalin, or that he's low IQ, and we need to put him in another class where we don't teach him much, and you discover, no, that certain food substances are just really making him miserable, and if you just took him off those food substances. And we talked about brain balance. We invited them in. This is a business in the world based on the work of a Dr. DeMello. Anyway, and they said the first thing they do for their clients is send them to a nutritionist, and not just any nutritionist, of course, and do some tests and find out if this child has an underlying physiological issue that could be easily adjusted, and then, of course, they'd have some therapy. So, hallelujah, so much more is going on in the practical methods today than ever before. When I started this journey 40 years ago, very little was known, and the categories were very wrong. They're still wrong today, and often the answer to that was a resignation. Okay, so your child is brain damaged and we'll put them in the retarded class. Like, no. The very definition of learning disability is average IQ and yet some difficulty in school, in performance scores. So there may be something wrong with that definition, but this is the point. Have faith. And let that faith lead you to the right works. We believe in healing, and we'll take it any way it comes, because God wants total well-being for all children. Come to our website at www.greatshalom.org. Also participate on the Facebook page and share this.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.